Today I want to discuss a topic. This is a strange topic. I don't know how practical this topic is for many reasons, but it's presented very well here in the Sefer Higyoinei HaParsha. We've used this Sefer a number of times by Rabbi Aryeh David Wasserman. The topic is Isser Histaklus Bitzelem Demus Adam Rasha. The prohibition to gaze at the image of an evil man.
Obama.
Now, where does this halacha come? What does this halacha have to do with this parasha? So let's begin with, he presents here eight reasons. The Mechaber, Rabbi Wasserman, presents here in his Hakdama eight reasons as to why Yitzchak lost his eyesight. Parsha, this week's parsha told us, Vayihi ki zokin Yitzchak vatichena einav merois. Yitzchak was old and his eyes, he began to lose his vision. So let's go through the eight reasons. The first reason is because, this is why we're discussing this topic, is because Chazal tell us, Medrash Tanchuma Shenistakel Bidmus Esav HaRasha. Even though Yitzchak did not know that Esav was a Rasha, Esav was clever enough to disguise his surah to his father. The fact that Yitzchak Avinu violated this halacha, he was mistakel, he gazed intently at his son Esav. I guess he saw him every single day until he became blind. That is why he lost his eyesight. And before we go further, I just want to jump to the end. In Shulchan Aruch, in Tor, Shulchan Aruch and Ramban, this halacha is not mentioned. Even though this is a Gemara, it's a Tanchuma, and it's also in the Gemara Masechta and Megillah Daf Chaf Ches. I'll read you in a moment. I'll read you right now. Shol es Rebbe Yeshua. Shol Rebbe. Es Rebbe Yeshua ben Karcha. Ba meh herachta yamim. Why did you merit to arichas yamim? Om aloi. So he told him, I fulfilled the halacha. Loi nistakalti bidmus odom rasha. I was zocher to arichas yam because I did not look at the Adam Rasha. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan also Adam Lestakel B'Tselem Demus Adam Rasha Shenemar. We learned this from Elisha. Okay, it's a Gemara. Elisha went and he met up with Yehoshaphat, and he said to him, "Why have you not come to visit me? I'm in searching for you. Why have you hidden yourself?" So he said, "The only reason why I'm coming now is because you're the Melech, Kvod Malchus. But if not for Kvod Malchus, it would be forbidden for me to look at you, you Russia. Lule, Penei Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda ani Noise. If not for the fact that you are the Melech, Im Abed Elecha V'im Ereka, would I dare look at you? You're a Russia. You're an evil man." So it's Mefarish Apostolic. Elisha said this about the Melech. You imagine saying this to you, can you imagine? You're invited to the White House and you say, "Why did you come visit? I'm only coming because of Kvod Malchus, the office. But you as a person, you as a person, I wouldn't look at." They would throw you out in a half a second.
That comes under.
Okay, but Elisha, I guess, had the immunity. He had diplomatic immunity, but he had prophetic immunity. The fact that he was a prophet, so that allowed him the power to make such a statement. But it's Beferish Gemara and the Masechta Megillah and the Tanchuma. So, however, what is very troubling, and we're going to discuss in a few moments. We'll get in a few moments. Is even though this is recorded in the Gemara, it's not quoted in the Rambam. The Rambam made no mention of this halacha, and Torah Shulchan Aruch also did not quote this statement in the Gemara. It's not la halacha. And so basically, what?
Say, Yaakov,
yeah.
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 By Yitzchak it says, "Techena enof meiros." He refused to see what he could.
He didn't want to see
what Esav was. The Russian is different.
Okay, after we understood how
he refused to see.
Okay, so let's just first go through just very quickly the eight different reasons of why he lost his eyes. So the first and most obvious is because what it says in Tanchuma, and this is cited by. He doesn't say who says this reason, but it's from the Tanchuma. He looked at the Dmus Esav HaRasha. Okay, next reason. Reason number two. This comes from the Rashbam. The Rashbam says very simple, it's zikna. Don't read anything into the pasuk. Vatichena einav meraos. The Rashbam, one of the Gedolei Harishonim, Rashi's grandson, he was old. In ancient times, that's what happened. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have technology. Maybe they can keep us going a little bit longer. But in ancient times, it was natural that people, when they got old, that was a sign of old age. They lost their vision. And the proof to this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way and say, Loicho ha'so'eino v'lo'nos leicho? Why did the Torah, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, so just because he's an old man, it has to mean that he can see. So he can see, big deal. That the Torah went out of its way to say that Moshe was the exception. It's an amazing insight. We tend to think that in ancient times they were healthier. In ancient times, I don't know what the statistics are. People who are of old age, of losing their eyesight. But it seems that in ancient times it was very common that a zaken would lose his eyesight, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the exception, and that's why he had to save lechasa eimiv loynos lecho. But Yitzchak was not the exception. That's why he lost his eyesight. Reason number three, Rashi. Rashi tells us over here on the pasuk because at the time of the Akedah, interesting that Rashi always comes to say lebasi el lefarish. I'm only coming to here to give you the simple interpretation of the pshat. And Rashi does not say like his grandson, the Rashbam, Ruba de Ruba. Rashbam is one of the most fascinating interpretations of the commentators, Parashat and Chumash. And Rashbam, usually from all the commentators, has the most simple interpretation of the pasuk. Pshute kimashmo. Rashi, even though he claims to be the biggest Pashtun, is usually not. Rashi says more midrashic. And Rashi says that Yitzhak at the time of the Akedah, he gazed at the Shechina. He looked up at the Shechina, he saw the Malachim, and that is what had an effect upon his eyesight. Eventually it was lost later in his life. Reason number, and in fact there are a lot of midrashim that are made in the Chai that elaborate, they're really rational, but this is a very nice deep, very nice raya. Vatichena einav meraos. The pasuk really grammatically should have said Vatichena einav meraos. We're missing a lamed in the pasuk. Vatichena einav meraos. Why is the lamed missing? So Rabbeinu B'chaye says because it says by the Kis, it says by the Yecheskel, the Dvor of Yecheskel, that Yecheskel saw Marois Elohim. The windows, the heavens opened up and he saw the Marois Elohim. The word Maros are exactly the same letters as Me'ri'os, just different vowels. Is it Maros or Me'ri'os? So in order to allude to the fact that the reason why Yitzhak lost his eyesight was because he saw heavenly visions, so he did not write the word Me'li'os, which is a simple translation, which means that he can no longer see. We want to remind you that the reason why he lost his vision was because he saw the Marois Elohim, he saw the Shechina at the time of the Akedah. So this is the Rabbeinu B'chaye, which very well explains the Pshat and Rashi, where Rashi did not want to learn like the Rashbam. Reason number four is because Rashi also explains, this is all part of that, the same Rashi on the pasuk, is because Hashem wanted to that Yitzchak, that Yaakov should receive the brachos, not Esav, and by Kadosh Baruch Hu, this was the technique that Hashem wanted it to come about. Hashem, there's nothing that Hashem could do whatever he wants. Hashem could come to Yaakov Avinu in the prophecy, and tell him what to do. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to come about through natural means, and therefore, in order that Yaakov Avinu should receive the brachos and Esav should be denied the brachos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brought about that Yaakov Yitzchak would be blind and would be able, would be vulnerable, would be fooled by his children. So it's not anything, it's just Rashi says this. Obviously everything has to come together, to all the different reasons come together, but this is just another piece of the puzzle, piece number four. Number five, this is a fascinating reason. It's because he was bribed. Esav knew he was no tzaddikal. Esav was a phony. But Esav knew how to cover his tracks. And the way he covered his tracks was by continuously giving his father gifts. he would bring Vayehav Es Yitzchak Es Esav Ki Tzai B'Fif. Why was he always bringing him the Tzai B'Fif? They didn't have good restaurants. He had to go, had to come and bring him food every day. It was a bribe. It wasn't just Tam Kibud Av V'Em. It was more than that. It was, according to Chazal, it was a bribe. It was a bribe.
No, nobody was able to. Nobody.
And what does it say about bribes? Ki hashoychad yaver pikhim. Bribery blinds the wise. There's no one that's more wise than Yitzchak, but yet he was subject to the bribe of Esav, whether he realized it or not. And this is a fascinating interpretation that's brought in the Medrash Tanhuma as to why Yitzchak became blind. Reason number six is because Esav already at this point in time in his life had a reputation in the street as a Rasha. He was a Ratzeach, he was Ma'anis, he raped women, he was a Ratzeach, he already earned himself a nice reputation. And Hashem had Rachmanis on Yitzchak. If Yitzchak would walk into the street, if he was healthy, people would say, oh, here goes the father of Jesse James. Here goes the father of the Rasha. So in order that Hashem to spare busha uchlima and bezionis to the holy tzaddik Yitzchak, gesundheit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately blinded Yitzchak so he should be homebound. He should be homebound, not be able to go into the street in order to be spared from the busha uchlima and the bezionis of people saying, oh, here goes the father of this mushchis, of this person, Esav. Reason number seven, Rashi quotes this, because his eyes was affected by the smoke of the wives of Esav's wives. Esav married non-Jewish women, Mochlas, and they offered incense, offered sacrifices, incense, ketores, to Avodah Zarah, and smoke, Chazal says smoke is damaging to the eyes. The house was full with the smoke. So it's not a spiritual problem, which is a derech klal. They brought a lot of smoke into the home. They were smokers, Esav's wives, and that smoke had an effect on Yaakov's eyesight. Reason number eight is Kas. Chazal say that anger causes a person's eyes to dim. Yaakov, we don't have this in the pasuk, but Yitzchak, even though he loved him, kitzayid b'fiv, but Yitzchak had a lot of agmas nefesh from Esav. That's a very interesting insight. Torah records the positive. The Torah does not record the negative, but the Medrash says he had tremendous agmas nefesh. He married who he chose to marry, and obviously there were rumors. Obviously the rumors and the reports of his good deeds, his bad deeds, reached the ears of Yitzchak. He had agmas nefesh, and the agmas nefesh translated into kas, anger. How could it be my tzaddikal, my Esav, my tzaddikal, has married a shiksa? How could my tzaddikal go and do such terrible averos? It caused them kas, and kas causes a person to lose their eyesight. The sachakol, we have eight reasons why he lost his eyesight. Obviously, all the reasons are all different parts of one whole. They all elu the elu caused all of these things caused Yitzchak to be blind. But we want to focus.
Him marrying a shiksa, why do you want to give him the
prophecy? Because he still felt that's all part of the complex calculation. That's all part. Even though he was who he was, he felt from Esav would come from him greatness. Right now, so this generation skipped the beat. This generation is not such a tzaddikal. But he was a son. And we know it's not so uncommon such a thing where parents, the children aren't exactly the way they hope for them. But there's faith that the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren in the future, that's the simple answer. Okay, let's go now. We want to focus on momentarily the first reason she was nistakel b'demus adam rasha, which is a prohibition. And it's we mentioned the Gemara of Ari Chasyamim, the prohibition. Now the question is why? What is so terrible? What's the reason? What's so terrible to be mistakel the ponim of a demus adam rasha? So the Achrayim give us three very interesting reasons why this is a problem. Reason number one, this is a fascinating reason. It's because it's an insult to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who says this reason? Let me tell you the reason. The source. It's a very interesting reason. The Marsha says this. Every single human being is created in the Tzelem Elokim. Every single human being that you see in the street is a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam. A Rasha is basically damaged goods. And it is a false representation, it is a improper representation of the product, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You buy, quality control. You have a brand, you have a company, Apple is releasing new iPhone 6S. It's a bazillion if you go to the store and you purchase a damaged product. It doesn't work. You turn it on, it doesn't work. The customer is disappointed. The name, the reputation, the brand, Apple. How could it be I purchased something from this exalted company and it doesn't work? It's defective. So you know what? I'm going to go now to the competitor. I'll go to Samsung. I'll go to LG. It's an insult when you have a product and the product is not perfect. It's not working as advertised. It is an insult to the mother, to the one that has created the product. Every single human being is a product of the ultimate brand, the Ribbono Shel Olam. When a person does not come out the right way, when the product is defective, and you purchase that product and you have dealings with that product, Apple? I wouldn't buy an Apple. Not if my life depended upon it. They have defective products. An Adam Rasha is an insult, is a defect to Kaviyochel, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Did not turn out the way it was supposed to be. And therefore, don't look. Don't give it focus. Don't give Hashem a bad name by focusing on a product that is not 100%. This is the Mahalach of the Marsha. It's nothing spiritual. It's nothing personal. It's the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, you always think, I always adore it, it's a spiritual thing. He'll rub off on you. He'll look at you and he'll inject in you Kriches HaTumah. No. Nothing to do with that. It's the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This product is defective. Don't attribute the defect to the Ribbono. Just ignore it. Yeah. No, it doesn't say, what do you mean, Lassachanim?
You shouldn't
favor them. They're defective. They're defective representation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So don't. It's not a covet. That's the Marsha. The second. Let me do this.
That wasn't good stuff that became bad. That was bad to start with. Okay. I.e. that becomes a Russia. That's
even worse.
That's worse.
That's even worse. Okay. Another reason from the Shari Tshuva. Very very posh. It's very similar. It's a human nature. That when you look at something, when you focus on something, you are drawn to that object. This is human nature. A person, you go on the web, right? And you go to certain websites. At first, you're not you know, certain blogs. You're not big fans. You just find yourself, the more you go and you look, the more you become drawn in. You read, you go to this website, you read their articles, you disagree, everything that they say, but you just can't help yourself. And then, you get suckered in. That's human nature. If you're going to look at the Demus Tzelem, it's nothing spiritual, it's going to rub off, you're going to become connected to him. Slowly and surely, you're going to associate with him, you're going to be connected, you're going to learn from his ways, and the wicked conduct of such a person will end up rubbing off on you, and that is why it is forbidden, what the Gemara says, I didn't associate with bad people. That's basically what it means. Bad people do averos, and their conduct will rub off on me, I will follow in their ways, I don't look, I don't associate. That's the second reason. The third reason is also from the Shari Tshuva, and this is more of a mystical reason, which we don't really relate to, is by looking at an Adam Rasha, you bring upon yourself a Koyach of Tumah. Okay, we don't really know what that means. I think in this generation, from all the generations in history, we probably have more of a sensitivity to this for one simple reason. Today, in the airwaves, what's in front of the ear? Nothing. But all of us know without question that in the airwaves, that in this very room, we can pick up probably 1,000 different stations. You can pick up new things, you have the right equipment, there's transmissions, there are secret transmissions, there, you can pick up the police radio and the FBI radio, and you can pick up every television signal and every radio signal, and if you had sophisticated equipment, you can pick up signals from all over the world. How could it possibly be? How could it be? You don't sense. We know that in the ear, there is certain airwaves which carry communication from various devices. So just like that's true in a physical sense, spiritually it's the same thing. Every Adam Rasha has a radiance of tuma, of wickedness, and when you look at that person, you are opening up your reception to bring into your own neshama. The eyes are the window of the neshama. You're bringing in a koyach of tuma from the Rasha into your neshama. Okay, it's hard to really put your finger on this idea, but this is something which Munas Chacham, we believe, and therefore there's a Kabbalistic aspect to this as well. So these are basically the three reasons why also Lestakel B'dimus Adam Rasha. And what are the nafkamin? These are nafkamin which everyone struggles with very much. What about looking at a picture? Looking at a picture of Hitler Yimach Shema. Are you allowed to be mistaken? He's not in front of us. It's just a representation, a physical representation of a picture. Is there a prohibition? What? That's the question. It says, but the Muslim, but tzelem. The words of Chazal are in the tzelem, in the image. So that's the question. Is it sculptures? Is it the real thing? What exactly is this? If you're going to learn, it's a Kabbalah, it's a Koyach of Tumah. You can really argue that there's no Koyach of Tumah when you look at a photograph. You look at a photograph of Adam Rasha, when you're going to say this. What? A two-dimensional, three-dimensional sculpture, a photograph of Adam Rasha. Is there anything wrong? Like there are certain Gedolim, they didn't want to look at dollar bills. Okay, they don't look at dollar bills. They don't want siyonim. I shouldn't say about the American. There are certain people there. This is a mishagas. But I don't know what.
It has to be three dimensional.
That's about the Zara. Yeah. But there's another halacha. They roll up the bills. They roll up the dollar bills. You shouldn't chas v'shem look at it siyonim. I mean, come on. Come on. Bills. Every bill has a picture of a woman, of a person. Now they want to put a woman on the $10 bill or the $20 bill. Who are they going to put on the $20 bill?
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Hillary. American money, Israeli money, whatever you want to say. So is there such a thing as the stackle? So if you're going to focus on the second time is because the second time is Koyach HaToma, it's a real hard sell to tell me that there's a Koyach HaToma in a photograph. But if you want to go tell me that it's an insult to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's an insult. You want to go look at a defective version, right? You want to go advertise an iPhone, you want to go with an iPhone with a smashed screen, right? You go on the train, they have advertisements to go buy the new iPhone, the iPhone 6S, and they'll show it to you with a screen that's smashed. They claim it's possible to smash the screen up. So you're going to say, you could argue, you can argue back and forth. It's not, who says, maybe it is an insult. The third time, you're going to be mechubar. Are you really going to be connected to a photograph? It's a stretch. Okay, but if you want to focus on looking at images, you have to first know what the ikarim are. I mean, he doesn't really claim. He goes to the Zufalpo. Yeah?
I'm sorry. You mentioned a picture.
Yeah.
Can you stretch that to
I'm going to come down in a moment. What does it mean, lehistaka? We're going to come down in a few moments. The study. We'll come down in a few moments. Okay, now let's give another. Now, here's another very big issue is. Now, this halacha indeed has an application of Shulchan Aruch. Now, this is a very fascinating idea. We know that in America, we're brainwashed. You're innocent until proven guilty. This is the American motto. In halacha, it's mamish, just the opposite. The words are. I'll read you what it says in the Shach. The Shach. In Chayshe Mishpat Simon Yud is what Simon Yud Zayin Seif Katan Yud Gimel. The Shach there comments when a Dayan has in front of him the two Balei Dinim, Shadayan Tzorach Liros Ashnei Balei Hadin Kirishoin. when the two Baalei Dinim come before you in court, they're both guilty. Now you have to qualify this as he does over here, where there's Hakhasha. We're not dealing with a case where two Tzadikim come in for a Shaila. We have two Tzadikim, each one says, no, you take the money, you take the money. We're not talking about Ikfsa de Mashiach, Mashiach Dinei Torah. We're talking about Dinei Torah where the two people are coming in, they're at each other's throats, and each one says, you're a Ganuf, you're a liar, and there's Hakhasha, and only one of them can be right, and someone is lying. Between the two parties, there is something that smells rot. Between the two parties. And it's the dying to decide. So one of the two is going to come out as a Rasha in this case. Someone here is lying. So someone's going to come out as a Rasha. So how do you start? So in American society, everyone's a tzaddik. You're innocent, and you're innocent until proven guilty. In Shulchan Aruch, it's mamish pumfakert. In Shulchan Aruch, you're a Rasha, and you're a Rasha. If someone has a claim against you, someone has tightness on you, legitimate tightness, there's raglayim l'davar to the point where you're coming to Beis Din, and there has to be a din Torah, there has to be a decision made, because it's not clear, because there's raglayim l'davar, there's circumstantial evidence that you're guilty, they're both guilty, then you're a Rasha, and you're a Rasha. You're both guilty. That's the halach in Shulchan Aruch. And then, after the dying paskins the halacha, they're both tzaddikim. Even the one that's guilty is a tzaddik because we have a emunah that he will accept upon himself the din of the dayan. When the dayan says you're going to do paskins, what the halacha is, we believe you, we have faith in you, that even though right now you're still panting, you're still enraged, in a few minutes you'll calm down and you'll accept what the dayan says, so then they're two tzaddikim. So we go from two rishoyim to two tzaddikim. This has a nafkamina la halacha. What's the halacha? This is shocking. That the dayan is not allowed to look at them. Here's such a chiddush. Now that we've learned this halacha, that also lo odom lehistakel bidmus tzelim odom rasha, and since in Shulchan Aruch the two Baalei Dinim in a situation when there's hakhasha, and they're both, one of them is a rasha, and if Allah halacha, the dayanim have to look at both of them as rishoyim, the dayan is not allowed to look at the litigants when they present their disagreement. Shocking. You just look at them, you don't look, focus on their face. You look away, you hear what they have to say. Not because you don't want to be influenced, maybe he'll shout at me, I'll be scared, or some people have a scary look, and he'll change the diet. No, you're not allowed to look at them, even if they're timid, and they're quiet, idle people, because they're ashamed. Shocking halacha, that's what it says.
Yeah, but that doesn't work in the Gemara in Sanhedrin about Avis. That you have to, in other words, why is AVPA not good?
Yeah. Because have you present. It doesn't mean you look at them.
To see their expression on the face when you ask a question, you can tell by his face whether he's trying.
You have to be present, but not.
You're going
to
look at his face, you're going to see what you can tell if a guy's lying.
Okay. Now this now the next question over here is how far do we really go with this? Okay, today we live in a world, the Poskim say that this is something which the Taz says it's not recorded in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in the Rambam, it's not in the Torah, not in the Shulchan Aruch. And the question is why not? This touches upon another major issue in halacha. So many gedolim, many achronim say it's because when the Gemara says asur, it doesn't mean halachically asur. It means it's a midas chasidus. It means it's a hanhaga. Shulchan Aruch generally only tells you law. It's not telling you midas hanhagas. And we have in Shas, there are many different examples where the Gemara says asur to do this, asur to do that. It doesn't mean it's halacha. It means hanhagas. It's not a good hanhaga to do so, but it's not actual halacha. And therefore, a person has to use his discretion. Many times it's not. What?
Like that's
an
osur, but
potter. Also, no, those cases can also be halacha. It just means a hanhag, it's a midah. It's a midah. Don't do it if you can avoid doing so, but you have to be careful, you have to be practical in life, and sometimes you have no choice. So if it would be a halacha, you wouldn't have a choice. You would have to make sacrifices in life. But being that it's not halacha, it's a hanhag, and you can't always do the hanhag. So therefore, it's not in Shulchan Aruch, and it's not etched in stone. Other parties can say, they say something very shocking. I think the Turi Evan says this, Masechta Megillah, he says it's halacha. It is halacha. But you know why it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch? Because it's a halacha that's almost impossible to fulfill. Because people, you just can't do it. How, you can't live your life. We know there are evil people out there in the world. We know, and what halacha? It's just something which roiv hatzibur ein yechaylin la'amid by. But that doesn't mean that when it says in the Gemara, it's only a hanhaga. It's not a halacha. Now, the first thing that one thing I left out. This is an interesting thing. Is that where do we find Hakadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not look at Rishayim. Where do we learn this from? It's the famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos, when the Gemara darshan the Aleph base. When the Gemara gets the letter Kuf, the Gemara darshan all of the letters of the Aleph base. When it gets the letter Kuf, the Gemara says the Kuf is next to the letter Resh. Who is the Kuf? The Kuf is Kadosh. It represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the Resh? The Resh is the Rasha. Is the Rasha. The Reish is turned away. In the Aleph Bay is this Kuf, and the Reish is facing away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Hashem says, I cannot look at the Rasha. But what's interesting, this is one of the Makaras, we're going to be searching for a Makar. Why are you not allowed to look at all the Muslim of the Rasha? It's very difficult to find the source. We quoted the Gemara's source. The Gemara's main source comes from Yehoshaphat. Elisha says to Yehoshaphat, the only reason why I'm giving you an audience is because you're the Melech. But as far as a person, Im Areka, I wouldn't look at you. I wouldn't go look at you, and I wouldn't even look at you because you're an Adam Rasha. That's really a strong makar. But another very strong makar is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara clearly says Kuf is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Reish is the Rasha, and Hashem turns the Reish away. I don't want to go look at the Rasha. So if Hashem does not want to look at the Rasha, so we learn from Kadosh Baruch Hu, we imitate, we also do not look at the Rasha. There's a flaw in this Drasha, because in this Drasha, Hashem turns the Rasha away. We are told that we should not look at the Rasha. Hashem took the Reish and turned the Reish. Turn the Reish the other way around, that Hashem should not look at the Rasha. Not that Hashem turned away. It's not if he claimed that Kadosh Baruch Hu should turn away. Kadosh Baruch Hu caused that the Rasha turned away, because the Rasha is not, Hashem does not want the Rasha to be in its vicinity. So this is a very important Makar. Okay, now the next issue is.
The Makar is from the Nochash.
What's the Nochash?
The
Boy Shom
told the Nochash, you can eat the offer all the time. Don't come to me.
I don't want to see you. Okay, very good. It's another Makar. I don't want to see you anymore. Now the problem here, now here's this one major problem which everyone deals with, is that Yaakov Avinu, when he met Esav, he said, Kirois Pnei Elokim Vatir Tzeni. Oh, seeing you is like seeing the face of God. How could he say that? Not only are you not allowed to look at a Rasha, but to be Mechanef him, and saying, looking at you is like looking at God. I mean, that's going to an extreme. Maybe you'll see that Yaakov Avinu was a shas hadchak, and b'kuach nefesh, he had a look at him. Okay. But ad kidei kach, to use something which you're suggesting is halachically forbidden to do, and he's going to take that concept and use that as a shvach to praise Esav? It's a very strong question. And the only solution, the only satisfying solution, I mean, this is a shocking thing, is that when he said, looking at you, kialkeinu isi panecha, seeing your face, kirois pnei elokim, so he's saying is, it's something which can be interpreted two ways. Esav, you'll hear what you want to hear. I will say what I want to say, and I will understand my words very differently. Just like in this week's parasha, Onoichi Esav b'choyrecha, I am who I am. Esav is your firstborn. If you, my father Yitzhak, don't want to put the comma between Onoichi and Esav b'choyrecha, that's your problem. I'm the Isha Emes. I will say Onoichi Esav b'choyrecha. When you land, you pause. When you land. Will you pause between Anochi and Esav
b'choyrecha? It's been 25 years, but I probably did.
You pause. Anochi. You want... It's a pashta. It's a pashta munach kotor. It's a pashta. So it's one...
The Anochi is a
tamalapsik.
You don't pause. Okay, so the question... So here is the thing. Esav, according to many of the commentators who asked this question, they answer, who among those is the chidah? Okay, the Chidah, the Chidah, know what the Chidah says? The Chidah says that interpretation, Anochi Esav, Al-Kein Risi Ponecha, I've seen you, it's Kiros Pnei Elo Kim. not Elohim, holy Elohim. Lo yelcha Elohim acherim al ponai. Avodah Zorah, you're not going to look at Avodah Zorah. It's also another thing, you're not going to look at Avodah Zorah.
When the cipher writes, what is the mashav of the cipher? Is that one of the chol, or is that cut?
No, Pashtus is not like the Chidah. It's a good question, but Pashtus, when he said it to him, because the question is such a difficult question, how could... sometimes you got a question that's better than any answer you can give. The question here is very good, because he's using something which is also. The answer is, you are... Just like looking at an idol is forbidden, looking at you is also forbidden. That's what he was really saying to himself, Yaakov Avinu. Kirois, Pineo, Kyalkedu, Isi, Panecha, Kirois, Pineo, Lakin. You're an idol. I can't even look at you. You don't want to understand that translation. You want to interpret the translation that Elohim means holy? That's your problem, Esav. And you want to take it as a compliment? That's your problem. But I am not saying anything that is halakhically wrong. I am saying something which I know to mean that I'm really not allowed to look at you because it's also the Stakel B'Tselem Demus Adam Rasha. A lot of the companies give answers similar along those lines. That's a very big chiddush to say such a thing, but again, the question is a very good question.
Now, of course, you deal with the fact that this is what Yaakov was punished for this. That's why Shimon Malevi became, because they overhear their father talking to Esav, like he's
praising him.
He's praising him, and it affects the
children. Okay, to finish up, there is a head. Now, halacha lemaisa, what do we do with Zman as halacha lemaisa? Halacha lemaisa, commentators take note, there's a difference between the word histaklus and the word re'iyah. Re'iyah means a glance.
Right.
The word estakel simply means an intense gaze.
Right.
An intense gaze. In fact, it's interesting to look at the Targum. You look at the Targum throughout Tanakh, the Targum translates the word re'iyah with the word habet, habata, and the word histakel. I'm sorry. He translates Targum Aloshon habet to mistakel. The Targum translates the word habata with the word histakel. Histakel is an Aramaic word. Histakel is the Aramaic translation for the word habata, habet. And the Targum's translation for the word ure'e is v'yechze, is to see. So the two different words. The word is habata, and there is achizayon. Okay, so you have to play what it means. That someone learned that's just the opposite. That's a question. Someone learned from that just the opposite. But generally, most of the commentators said the word histakulus means intense gaze. Like, you're not allowed to be mistakula, the pinky of an isha. What do you mean? The pinky means if you look at the pinky with intensity to derive pleasure, that is. But to look at a woman, the re'iyah, just to look quickly and to look and to see what you need to see, that is not. So therefore, this concept of the Rasha is forbidden when it's together, histakulus with intensity and study. That is forbidden. And the question that Mr. Glatter touched upon is that maybe the word histakel doesn't really mean to look. It means to comprehend, to understand the depth of what's behind the face. And this can be a halakhic issue. Let's say you have an essay. A person is you're in school, you have to write a PhD thesis, and you're given a choice of different famous people. Is it halakhically permissible? Halacha question, to do research on Hitler, research on Stalin, research on Saddam Hussein, is it halachically permissible? Perhaps when Chazal say also lehistakel bidmus b'tselem demus adam rasha, it doesn't just mean to look at the person. It means to delve into their persona, into their essence. What's so terrible? Well, we'll rub off. Maybe that's not what it means. Doesn't necessarily mean to look at their picture. When you delve into their mind, you know, there are documentaries all over on Hitler.
To see their point of view.
To see their point of view. You go and you study wicked people. There are documentaries on television. PBS, you can probably watch documentaries. I saw documentaries on Hitler. Like studies, deep, deep studies into how do they work. This is what Chazal mean, also lehistakel b'tselem demus adam rasha. Entering into their mind is a place you don't want to go. He don't want to go for many reasons. What? It's takah b'shlosha. So there it doesn't mean you're actually going to see. It's to study. So it doesn't mean necessarily. That gives a whole new interpretation of the first reason. The first reason why Esav's eye, Yitzchak's eyes, and this makes a lot of sense, why his eyes were dulled, because he was the stakel. He was the stakel of the Esav. Yitzchak Avinu didn't just want to give the brachas to Esav just like that. Esav, Yitzchak Avinu came to give the brachas to Esav after, we can imagine, enormous amount of thought. There was a machlokes between him, Chazal, and between him and Rivka. Rivka said the candidate for the brachas is Yaakov, and Yitzchak felt the candidate for the brachas is Esav. So how did Yitzchak reach that decision? Obviously, there were many problems with Esav. He was his stakel. He did research. He delved deeply into his psychological makeup to make the decision if it's kedai to give him the brachas. That his stakelos is what dulled the eyes of Yitzchak Avinu. Okay, we'll stop here.